Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, the emotions of a first finish line at almost 59 years of age.
When I ran into the stadium, I have to admit, I consider myself somewhat of a macho guy, but I literally broke down and cried. It was incredibly overwhelming beyond belief.
Running to fight and overcome mental illness.
I suffer from schizophrenia, and I hear a voice that's totally, constantly, battering me. And through running, I have discovered something that it's a tool that I use, but I can run faster than him. And so when he decides he wants to join me on a run, I just pick up my pace and take off, and most of the time I can outrun him.
And from a serious illness to a marathon in 8 months.
And on my first surgery, she gave me a shirt that says, I can and I will. And it says, I can and I will, end of story. And I say that in my head all the time when I'm running. And I have a tattoo of the Crohn's, and it says, this too shall pass. So I repeat that to myself daily, those sayings, to make sure that I don't ever go backwards in life anymore.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hey there.
You're hard at work on the latest issue of iRun, I know, and it's a special one. I think you really like this theme, and you're really getting something out of this, aren't you?
Well, I feel like this is the closest we've come to sort of distilling, the true meaning of what we do this for. Anytime we put an open call on Facebook to the readers to appear on our cover, it's like that's where we should be. If the magazine and the community and everything stands for everybody and inclusivity and empowerment, then it feels like we're putting power to action. The response has been terrific, so the work is a blast.
Yeah, so remind everybody about this next issue, which is all about everybody, emphasis on body. All shapes and sizes of people can be runners.
Yeah, and so running is for everybody, and it's for young and old, as we know, and you can be doing your first 5K or doing an ultra marathon, and I know all the people on today's show all know that it's it's for everyone, that this sport, what I love about this sport and what I take from it is just the people and how what we're supposed to do and what we try to represent is welcoming everybody with open arms. And when we do that and when we can promote that, I think we are at our very best.
And you're going to be doing this cover shoot next week, and I guess people can check our Facebook page to find out more about that.
Yeah, or just call me up, 416-617-4670, and we are doing it. We are live, and it is just terrific. And people are really, there's one woman I was just talking to right now, and she's, wow, it's outside of my comfort zone, and I'm not sure about appearing in a magazine, I'm not sure how I look, and I said, well, I don't want to force you to do anything you don't want to do, obviously, no pressure, give it a think, let me know if you have any questions, and she wrote me back, and she said, I am going to do it, because I wish when I was, so concerned about myself and how I look and afraid to face the mirror, I wish there had been somebody to be on that magazine that I could have seen. So she, this just happened right now. This
Good.
Is what I'm doing right now.
I love that.
Feels,
yeah. And, we do have some great examples of that today. We're going to talk to David Seuss later, who has suffered from colitis, has been through some really awful surgeries and treatment that he's had to deal with and the recovery from that. And yet, here he is doing the Toronto Marathon a few weeks ago. And also Michael Saint Laurent, a guy who really did not do long distance running until his late 50s and now gets very emotional at the finish line, as we heard just a couple seconds ago in the intro to the show. And someone you know and are aware of, Peggy Hickman, who I'm just so impressed by her and how she has become an advocate for mental health and how she actually talks about how she has this voice in her head, but she can outrun it, and running has helped her with her mental illness. It's amazing.
This is so much more what we should be talking about than how to stretch your hamstring or
right.
What banana to eat. And that stuff, you're fine. There's a place for it, but I don't think that's what we're about, you know, what we stand for. So this is amazing. These guys are all great.
Yeah. And you're so right about that, because people think running is about getting faster and getting stronger. And of course it is on some level. And we all want to be able to go a couple minutes faster if we can. But when you get involved in the community of runners and when you are supporting other runners, it really is about their story and their life's journey and where they're going and how running fits into that.
Yeah, you know, if it can add to your life, make your life better, make you a better partner or parent or kid, grandson, whatever it is, but if it adds, you know, it can, it's a wonderful, powerful thing.
Yeah, and I know we're going to have some great stories in the next issue of iRun, and we'll be telling some of them on iRun Radio in the weeks ahead, so I'm very excited about that. And by the way, on next week's show, Bart Yasso is going to join us. He's counting down to his retirement as chief running officer of Runner's World magazine at the end of December. He's done.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, I can't imagine going to one of these big events in Boston or New York or Chicago and Bart not being there, because that's what he does.
I wonder what he, anyway, cool. I look forward to hearing that.
Down on next week's show what he's going to be up to. All right, Ben, we'll let you get back to work on the next issue, and I'm sure you're going to be out for a run today as well. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, everybody else.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who started running long distances in his late 50s. Now he says he's hooked. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is live every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of our show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. I met Michael Saint-Laurent at an event a few weeks ago, and I was really interested in his story. He took up long-distance running in his late 50s. It's become a big part of his life. He's also recently changed his diet, and he's going to tell us a bit about that. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Tell me how you got into running.
Well, I've been running off and on pretty well, like, I suppose, since I was in my mid-20s. Not very often, but I would run maybe 5K, and I think I did up to 10K. And then about 9 years ago or so, I started building my cottage up on Lake Simcoe, and decided that I would put a treadmill up here. And I have a fairly large screen and porch that I built, and I'm overlooking a lake, and started running on the treadmill, and did almost all of my runs on the treadmill. But I was still doing maybe 10 to 15K. And then a friend of mine suggested that I should maybe run a race. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And he suggested the Hamilton 30K around the bay. So I trained for that, and 2 weeks before I turned 59, I did my first race.
Wow. And how did it feel?
When I ran into the stadium, I have to admit, I consider myself somewhat of a macho guy, but I literally broke down and cried. It was incredibly overwhelming, beyond belief.
Why do you think that was?
I think probably because it was incredibly overwhelming. I had no idea. I didn't know anything about racing. I've never even went to one or saw one. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know what to expect. I just ran, I ran, and I made it. I think I had reached a point of probably complete, absolute exhaustion. I had never run that kind of distance before. I think the most that I ran was 22K leading up to that. It was quite overwhelming. At the same time, incredibly satisfying.
And did that change your perspective about running and about other things?
Oh absolutely, totally. I could probably say that I wish I had started it younger, But I think at my age, I think that this is a good thing for me to do at this stage of my life and to start it. And yeah, it did change my perspective. It changed my perspective about what it takes to be a long-distance runner. And I have a lot of respect for people like you out there who are out there doing this. Totally, incredibly amazing.
So what have you done since then? That wasn't the only time you did around the bay, right? You've been back a few more times?
Yeah, I did. It was the, so what I had done basically, it was 2 weeks, I was in 2013. And then I did the half marathon in Barrie. And then I did my first marathon at the Scotiabank in that same year. So 2013. And that was I trained all summer for it, and I was very happy with the time. I had figured I could have, you know, finished it in 5 hours, but I did it in 4 hours and 13 seconds. Would have been nice to have done it 14 seconds later, but I was pretty happy at 4 hours.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm a fairly heavy person. Like, not really heavy, but. I'm 210 pounds. Probably back then I might have been 220. So I was pretty happy with that. And since then I've done maybe perhaps 7 or 8 half marathons, in total 5 full marathons. And I did 5 years or 5 years in a row of 30K around the bay in Hamilton.
Yeah, that's a lot of races in what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah, in 4 years, yeah. I would say I'm hooked.
Yeah, no question. And what is it you get out of the running and doing these longer distances?
I think that I've always been a person who's prided myself on just completing things, something, getting to a goal, and I'm very disciplined in what I do, and I'm very goal-oriented. So I like the idea. I would say that probably what really pushes me is to complete something.
And when you completed your first marathon, was it a similar experience to when you did the 30K around the bay, your first race?
Yes, I must admit that. I didn't burst into tears, but I was pretty teary-eyed, and I had a hard time actually even breathing. It was quite overwhelming again, and I must say that it was incredible, the last kilometer or last 2 kilometers, where people are cheering you on, and I really believe that's what kept me going. Otherwise, I would have just stopped. It was just like, wow, these people are out there, and they're out there for me. I'm so lucky. Like, it's incredible. It really was, and you know, just to get off on a tangent, I did run Ottawa 2 years ago, and Ottawa is my actual hometown. I was actually born in Ottawa and I grew up in Ottawa, and it was my first time running a marathon in Ottawa, and it was substantial. It was substantial. The last, I think, 3 or 4 kilometers. With tens of thousands of people cheering, it's quite a place to be.
Yeah, and there aren't too many other things like that in life for ordinary people like us, right? Where you get that kind of experience, and the crowd is cheering for you, and you know, in everyday life, it's difficult to replicate that.
I agree. You know, was reading that in one of your books. I think that's you're absolutely right. I think you hit it right on the nose. It really is. It makes you feel very, very special. And at the same time, you ask yourself, like, wow, what does it take to be a spectator, like, and to cheer people on, and it's pretty amazing to see the people do that. Like, it really is. It's very humbling.
Yeah, and I think that way about the volunteers and the spectators. They don't get a medal at the end of the event. Sometimes they're out there for a lot longer than we are as runners, and it wouldn't be the same experience without either the volunteers or the spectators.
No, Absolutely not. There's no doubt about it. Like when you're training and you're out there doing, when I train, I overtrain, but I'm out doing, I have a condo downtown at the bottom of Bay Street, so I'll run from Bay Street to past here, Ontario, in Mississauga and back. And there's not one person in that whole time that I'm out there running that's cheering me on. So
race days are special.
Yeah. Actually, people are annoyed when they're opening a door and I'm running down Lakeshore and they're trying to get by me. So.
Yeah. Now, you told me when we met in Toronto that you have recently changed your diet. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. I'm not... Typically, I've never followed any kind of regime whatsoever with respect to diet in my life. I've just, throughout my life, if I wanted cookies, I would buy a bag of cookies and I would eat the top rack and then think about eating a second rack and sometimes just do it, or a big bag of chips. And I love junk food. I love steak. I love hot dogs. I love hamburgers. I love all that stuff. And I was watching this documentary about just a little over 3 months ago on Netflix. I was bored, and I was just watching this documentary. It was called the first one I watched is What the Health, and it's a documentary that was filmed, I believe, this year. And when I watched that documentary, it actually blew me away. It literally blew me away. The next day, I decided I would be on a plant-based diet. And then I watched another documentary called Forks Over Knives on Netflix as well. And it really brought the point home that this is what I need to do, because I believe that I had reached a point in my running that I'm not able to get past. It's not the wall or anything. It's just not... perhaps my age, I'm 63, so perhaps that's just a limitation of my age and my size. So I decided to go completely plant-based, and I have been for over 3 months now, because I believe that it will ultimately help with my running. It has definitely lowered my heart rate. I have a resting heart rate of 46, 47. And I believe that over time I'll start to lose more weight because I'm not eating any animal protein or fat or anything. I don't eat cheese, milk, eggs, fish, anything, just plant-based.
But of course, if you're doing that and you're training, you've got to replace some of the protein and some of the other things that you would have gotten from the foods you're no longer eating now, right?
Correct, and that is a challenging, but I'm always up for a challenge. So this is something that I really want to do as a challenge again, and I do. So I'm careful with what I eat. I've researched, a lot of different types of food that I should be eating. Protein, of course, is a really big one. Because I'm not eating any animal protein, I have to take a supplement of B12. Also, I don't have any dairy or anything, so I'm taking probiotic at this point. And I'm just eating a lot of vegetables, just a lot of legumes, a lot of vegetables, buying a lot of books on how to cook. Good thing I have time. I'm retired, so I'm lucky that I have the time to research and the time to actually go out and shop and cook.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating, and I'm looking forward to hearing. Maybe we can check back with you in a little while and see how it's going, because it's early days yet. But I know you're enjoying the challenge, and it's changing the way you think about your health and food and what you're eating. And I'm curious to see what impact it will have on your training. So maybe we can check back with you in a few months and see how it's going.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. My next race that I'm gonna be scheduled to run will be the 30K around the bay, and then in May, I want to qualify for Boston. That's my goal really right now. I came close 2 years ago in Ottawa. I did 3:53:14, which is my marathon time for my age is 3:55. So I actually qualified, but I got bumped off because there were people who had better time than I did. So I'm looking forward to knocking off a couple of minutes off my marathon in May.
All right. Well, Michael, it's great to talk to you and to hear your passion for running and your enthusiasm for what you're doing. We will check back with you in a few months. Good luck with your training and good luck with this transition that you're making with your diet. Thanks for being on the show.
Okay. Thanks so much as well, Mark. I really appreciate your interest. Thank you.
That's Michael St. Laurent. Coming up next, the inspiring story of a woman who can actually outrun the voice in her head. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Our next guest on iRun Radio is the inspiring Peggy Hickman. Peggy is an outspoken advocate for mental health. She recently took up running, and she's found that it has really helped her cope with her illness. Peggy, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Mark. You're great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you started running. This obviously has been a really important journey in your life. Where did it begin?
I started running in the latter part of 2013. Earlier that spring, I had had open heart surgery. And I also am a client at the Royal Ottawa, and my psychiatrist at the time asked me if he, if I had ever thought about running. And I said, no, never, And it was actually quite funny because I was, at that time, I was 57 and I had never run in my life before. And like I said, I had just had open heart surgery, not even a year, about 8 months earlier. So I really thought that he was a little bit off his rocker.
It's kind of an unusual question to ask somebody who's 57 years old and just had open heart surgery, right? You weren't thinking, I'm about to become a runner right now. Yeah.
No, but he had been trying to find things that, may interest me or to get my mind off of my illness a little more. And we had tried numerous things, like different, academic things. And they were all interesting, but nothing that really grabbed me. So I thought, well, I better, appease him a little bit. And I said, okay, I'll try. So I did. I decided to go out and try running. And like I've said to everybody who's ever asked me, it was love at first step. I just loved it and was hooked from day one. Yeah.
From day one, though.
Surprised myself.
Yeah. What I find interesting about that is a lot of people hate it at first and they got to get through the first couple of weeks or couple of months before they really start to enjoy it. But you started liking it right away.
I did. There was something about it that I just, it was almost like I felt free or something. I just really enjoyed it. So I have no more explanation than that. It grabbed me right from the beginning. Mm-hmm.
And did it start to help with your mental illness?
It did. Running, to me, it just gives me a peace that I really, really need. It's a really important part of my journey. It's an important part of my toolkit. And it gives me, like I said, that much needed peace. And it's also running's my time. Like my illness has to kind of take a back burner because it's my time to get out and I just listen to my feet. I look at the scenery around me and so it does give me that relief or whatever you'd like to call it.
But the way you put that was really interesting because it suggests that it's you're taking ownership of your time by running and you're not letting your illness control you or affect you during that time.
Yeah, I try. I try really hard. Like I said, we try to find ways to. I suffer from schizophrenia, and I hear a voice that's totally constantly battering me. And through running, I have discovered something that it's a tool that I use, but I can run faster than him. And so when he decides he wants to join me on a run, you know, I just like pick up my pace and take off. And most of the time I can outrun him. So if he wants to, you know, bug me, he has to wait till my run is over. And that's really worked well for me. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you can outrun the voice that you're hearing.
Most of the time.
Wow.
I did have an incident where I didn't quite outrun, but you know, most of the time I can. It's it really works well. So
that's remarkable.
But unfortunately, I can't run 24 hours a day.
Right. But you can run, and you have run a lot. So tell me a little bit about how you went from enjoying running just for the experience of it to doing some of the events that you've done.
The spring of 2014, I ran my first race. I ran 5K in the race weekend here in Ottawa, and that was awesome. I was really, you know, proud of myself for accomplishing that, and never really thinking ahead. That was like, I was so, like, I couldn't believe I had done that, you know, and then it just evolved. The next year, I ran the half, and the following year, I ran the half again, and then this fall, this past May, I finished my first full marathon. So it's pretty awesome.
And how did that feel when you completed a marathon?
That was a feeling that the emotion, all the feelings and the emotion that I felt when I crossed that finish line, I will never, ever forget them. Like, that was just, everything was rushing through me, you know, pride, disbelief, euphoria, like just everything, you know. It was, yeah, that was just a wonderful day. Mm-hmm.
And has running given you a sense of having more control over your life? Like you can fight back and you can take on the illness that you've faced, as opposed to not having enough options in your toolkit? Is that how you look at it?
It is. It's given me another major tool, and it is my major tool that I have in my toolbox. Like everybody finds something, and to me, it was really important for me to find a passion, because that passion allows me to concentrate on something else. It gives me confidence, and it's helped decrease my anxiety, and it's something that I'm proud of, so I want to continue. Like, yeah, it's really hard to explain, but it just has so many benefits for me, you know. It lets me set goals and achieve my goals, and it's really helped with my social interaction with people, because before running, I was anxiety just consumed me, and I avoided people. And so it's had so many benefits as far as my illness goes.
Wow, that sounds terrific. Now, what else do you have planned now? Are you going to do another marathon? Have you got other goals in mind now?
When I ran the marathon, I always thought, no, I'm going to do this one time. It's on my bucket list, and, you know, I want to do this. I'm 61, and I want to do a marathon. But now that it's done, I really believe that I would like to do another one. Yeah. The first one, I just soaked it all in. I enjoyed it and, you know, stopped to talk to my family and friends that were out cheering me. I really enjoyed the experience of it all. And I would really like to do another one and so, have that unknown it's behind me now.
Yeah.
You know, I can kind of picture it a little more, and I know that I can do it now. You know, I was starting out with that one really not knowing if I would finish, and so I would really like to do another one.
Yeah, now you know you can do it.
I'd like to find a cooler one, though, but...
Yeah, there have been some hot days at the Ottawa Marathon, yes, for sure, in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, what have your doctors said about how running has impacted you?
Oh, my doctor, he sees, he knows how much it's impacted me. In fact, he's a really big cheerleader as far, well, not just as my running goes, just as my doctor, but... In fact, in the marathon this last in May, he jumped in for the last 10K and ran it with me, finished the run with me, and that was really special. That was really nice. Yeah,
that's terrific.
It was, that was pretty. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose on a certain level, it's only fair because he's the one who got you into this, right? It was his idea.
Yeah, he did, and it was kind of nice that he, was able to kind of partake in it a little bit, and because he does run, but like he said, he's not quite there yet. But he thinks it's, he thinks it's awesome, and through all of that, I did start a running group of my own, because I could see how much the benefits that I got from running, and I was really interested to see if others with the illness could also get some of those benefits as well.
Right.
But I was also really aware of the fact how anxiety can really set in, especially amongst large groups of strangers, because I remember when I first started running, and it was with strangers, and it was really not a nice experience, even though I loved it, but I kept to myself and stayed at the back. And so with that in mind, I thought, well, it would be really interesting. So I started a run group at the Royal for my peers in the outpatient program at the in the schizophrenia program. And we call the group's called Run With It. And it being schizophrenia, but nobody really has to know that. It's just, and it's going really well. The people are really enjoying it. Yeah.
So other people,
so I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, and other people are seeing the same benefits that you've seen from the running.
Yes, it's not a large group. Like I say, it's only within the program, and they're really enjoying it and getting those benefits. And I see how much it's helping them, because I can see the same progress that I made as far as interacting socially and getting that confidence so this next month, actually, they're taking part in their first 5K, so I'm so proud of them. Yeah, because we're having a run.
Yeah,
myself and another gentleman organized a run for next. Well, it's actually this month now, I guess. On the 19th, and it's called Run With It, the race, and will be participating. Mm-hmm.
Well, look at you. You talked about having anxiety around other people and not feeling comfortable running with others, and now you're leading a running group and organizing a race. It's great.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty awesome, and I feel really good about it, and able to give back a little bit for, all the help that I've received and continue to receive from the Royal. I use my running as fundraising opportunities and raising awareness. That's pretty important to me, that people can see, the general public sees that, we can get out there and we can participate and we can contribute and, try to break down some of that stereotype and the stigma that's out there about people with this illness. Mm-hmm.
Well, Peggy, your story is remarkable, and it's inspirational as well. Continued success to you, and thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much. Good talking to you.
That is Peggy Hickman. Coming up next on iRun Radio, we're going to talk to a runner who has overcome colitis and has completed his first marathon. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back. David Seuss suffers from colitis, and he had surgery to remove a large portion of his digestive system. He took up running recently, earlier this year, in fact, and he just completed his first marathon last month in Toronto. He joins us now on iRun Radio. David, great to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you.
And congratulations on your first marathon in Toronto. Well done.
Thank you very much. It was fun.
So tell me a little bit about how you got to this marathon, because you have an incredible story about suffering from colitis and having surgery. So just walk us through what this journey has been like for you over the last few years.
Well, after my surgery, I was never really a runner even before my surgery. I had a tough go with my surgery, and then we went away actually this winter, and my wife was the runner, and we were doing a trail of the Nepali coast out in Hawaii, and it was about 5 miles we were in, and she said she was going to run out, and I said I didn't want to, and she said, well, she said she'd meet me at the end, and then I said, well, I didn't want her to go by herself, so I followed her, and that was how my running started. And that was in February of this year, and I haven't stopped running since then. And I did the Limberlost 14K run, and one of our neighbors, the girls, they were doing this marathon, the half marathon, and they asked if we'd do it because they'd seen me running every morning, and I agreed to do the half. And then the one said, well, it looks like I'm the only one doing the full. So I said, well, I'll do it. And that's how I just started from there.
All right. So you just started running in February, and almost on a whim because your wife was doing it. And now all of a sudden, 8 months later, you've run a marathon.
Yes. And I've passed her in all the running. She was just doing small ones, and I've taken it to to my whole new level.
Yeah. Now you're the runner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But just to give us a little bit more of the story of your health challenges before, because you went through a lot before you had the surgery, right?
Yeah, I was diagnosed, which they thought, with Crohn's when I was 17. And I battled with that all the way over half my life. And then for about 6 years, the doctors kept saying I needed to go for the surgery, and I'd be on an ileostomy, the baggie, for the rest of my life. I tried everything. I did a mindfulness meditation, yoga. I changed my eating habits. I tried everything, changing careers, jobs, everything. But the doctor said, no, I needed it. So I went down to Mount Sinai to see what he would say, and I met with Dr. Cohen, and he said that I needed it, and I said, well, if I do it, I want it now, and he said that the first date he could do it was in February 24th, and that was my dad's birthday. My dad had passed with cancer, so I thought it was a significant sign, and the day of my surgery, I was 168 pounds. The day I left Mount Sinai, I was 120.
Wow.
I got bruises on my bum driving home from Toronto to Bracebridge, which is a two-hour drive. We made three stops. I pretty much thought I was going to die. I gave up, but I never did, because I'm still here. So, and then I got better over the next 3.5 months. And then I went in for my second surgery to remove the ileostomy. It was supposed to be in-and-out surgery. As soon as my bowel started working, I was good to leave the hospital. My bowel started working, but I had a leak, which caused me a little bit septic. So it was the leak healed up, or it was just when they stitched it back together. And so they had to put a tube in and drain it. I had to go through four blood transfusions, a PICC line with a milkshake bag of proteins. And that was the easy surgery. So when I came home, I didn't do much. I didn't do good. But I talked to someone who had this surgery, and he said it was 2 years of, he said it was pure hell. And he was pretty much right. I was about 2 months shy of that, and things get better, and I'm doing great. And I have ups and down days, but that's everything. But I work full time and I run full time. So that's
And you just did a marathon. So obviously,
yes, I did.
You and I mean that. If that isn't symbolic of you having your life back and being in control and having recovered, I don't know what else would be.
Yeah. My wife's cousin is very sick, and on my first surgery, she gave me a shirt that says, "I can and I will." And it says, "I can and I will, end of story." And I say that to in my head all the time when I'm running. And I have a tattoo of the Crohn's, and it says, "This too shall pass." So I repeat that to myself daily, those sayings, to make sure that I don't ever go backwards in life anymore.
Yeah. What was it like for you to cross the finish line and to complete this marathon then?
It was great. It was an amazing feeling. I felt good. I felt proud. I was very happy. My main goal was to complete it no matter what. I would have liked to have been closer to 4. I was a little, 4:30, but that's fine. My main goal was to complete it, and I had fun. I had no regrets throughout the whole thing. I enjoyed every step of the way of it, and I've talking and thinking of setting some new goals for the next year.
Yeah, so what's on your mind? What do you think you'll do next?
My weight's down, so this winter I'm going to slow down. I'm going to do some snowshoe jogging, and I would like to gain some weight, but I'm going to try for an ultra for next year. And I'm going to do the Scotiabank Marathon again.
Okay, wow.
Maybe a couple other ones. So.
And you're going to celebrate your first anniversary as a runner in the meantime, right?
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Because it's still a relatively new thing. So what would you say about what it symbolizes for you to be running and to be completing a marathon and thinking about an ultra marathon after everything that you went through?
It felt great. And at the start of the marathon on University Avenue, we went past Mount Sinai, and I thought, wow, that's the place where I say I almost died. Like, I could have died, and within 3 years after I'm running by, I never would have thought that before. It was I felt very emotional, like almost brought a tear to my eyes because of what I went through. And like, I just felt great throughout the whole thing, knowing that what I've accomplished in the last bit.
Well, it's very impressive and very inspiring, David. It's remarkable what you've done after everything that you went through with your health challenges, and to be not only, I mean, it's amazing for any runner to go from just starting up running in February to completing a marathon in October, but especially after everything you had been through before that. Congratulations, and thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
That is David Seuss, who took up running after surgery for colitis. And that's it for iRun Radio this week. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to talk to the chief running officer of Runner's World magazine, the incredible Bart Yasso, who is just weeks away from retirement now. I hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.